Ladies and gentlemen, now is the time. Now is the time. I always fancy being one of those voiceover artists. I always thought that I've missed my vocation slightly. Maybe introducing the X Factor or The Voice or something like that. Sort of, ladies and gentlemen, now is the time for the James Whale Radio Show.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
Here we go. A very good day to you, wherever you may be. The James Whale Radio Show is on the air for the next hour coming up. We have an interview with Carol Decker. Now, some of you may not remember who Carol Decker is. Hands up. Hands up, those of you who know who Carol Decker is. Robbo, have you got your hand up?
My hand's up.
Your hand's up. Okay. You any idea who Carol Decker is?
Yes.
Who is she?
The inventor of Cadbury's Double Decker.
No, don't be silly. Carol Decker is probably one of the best rock singers this country has ever produced.
I bought her album the other day.
You see, you knew who she was.
Yeah.
You knew who she was. Carol Decker, of course, lead singer with Tapao. They're out on the road again. Their albums, of course, continually available. We'll talk to Carol Decker later on in the programme. And that is good for Rob, because Rob loves her.
Super fan.
Wouldn't go that far. Super fan.
Yeah.
I thought you were into One Direction more.
I'm saying nothing.
No?
No, I don't want
to. Because I know you're a big Bieber boy, aren't you?
I don't want to get kicked off the radio.
What? By saying something about One Direction?
Or Bieber.
Or Bieber?
Mm.
What you really mean is Bieber what? Wasn't Bieber a well-known store back in the 60s and 70s?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, Justin Bieber. Dear me. Listen, I don't think you'll get into trouble at all. I don't think any self-respecting music fan would admit now to having anything good to say about him.
Bieber should go in one direction.
Yes, Bieber should go in one direction. Bieber should go as far away as here as he can. Of course, you could always Facebook me, by the way, if you don't like it. I might get onto those on Facebook who occasionally criticise me, most of them over the age of about 70. But never mind. Listen, welcome to the programme. Nice to have you with us, wherever you may be. And we want to say hi to listeners to Pure Music 24/7, who've just signed up. One of the myriad radio stations who take this programme, and Whitney Radio as well. Rob is doing a remarkable job. Not only does he produce this programme, sometimes finds guests, gets the music on, and occasionally pushes the button, but he also tries to encourage radio stations to broadcast the show.
Thank you.
That's all right. You want to be on with us, all you've got to do is get in touch. In fact, easy to get in touch. Why don't you email me, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. That's the one, isn't it?
That's correct, yep. That's the one.
Yeah, okay. So jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Same if you want to get in touch with my agent because you want me to come and have dinner with you. I've got a new money-making idea for myself, by the way.
Have you?
Yeah, I just came up with it the other day. People will pay a fortune. A fortune to have people like Mylene Klaus, well, I would as well, and Tom Jones, Kylie Minogue, all sorts of, to come and have dinner with them.
Right.
And apparently they'll pay something upwards of 50 grand to invite their favourite celebrity to have dinner with them. So I thought, as I'm almost a celebrity, I'll do it for a few hundred quid.
Done.
I'll come and have dinner, have a little chat. I'll stay to the coffee, and then I'll pop. The only thing I won't do is weddings.
Right, well, okay.
I don't like weddings, so I won't do weddings. Anyway, to get in touch, to come on the programme, maybe you think you should be a guest on the programme, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Now, we want to talk, just want to squeeze in a couple of things that I haven't mentioned on the programme, and a couple of serious bits. First of all, The sentence is passed this week, probably while you're listening to this, is last week, on those guys who murdered Lee Rigby. And there's been an enormous amount of talk about it on the radio, online, on TV, in the newspapers. And one of the guys, both called Michael, strangely enough, one of the guys got an all-life term, which means that he will die in prison. He will be there in prison until he coughs his last. He will sit in a prison. He will be there. He will not go out of that prison. He will get. He's. They're both in their 20s, I think. He will go into his middle age. He'll go into his old age, and then he'll become infirm, and he will die, and he will do that within the confines of a prison. And some people think that that isn't a severe enough punishment. I think it would put me off doing almost anything. The other bloke has been given a life sentence with a minimum term. That means he has to serve at least 45 years, and then there may be some chance. I would imagine it would be extremely slim that we would see him ever coming out of prison. Well, I won't see it because I won't be here in 45 years' time, I don't think. In fact, come to think about it, Rob, I don't think you'll be here in 45 years' time.
No.
No. So let's not dwell on that. We might get depressed if we suddenly think 45 years in the future we won't be here.
I'm welling up.
Yes, I know, I could tell. But the debate, of course, has come back as to whether or not capital punishment should be brought back. I don't know what you think. I'll tell you what I think. I think bringing capital punishment back would be a retrograde step, to say the least. I mean, it would be cost-effective. There's no doubt about that. It would be very cost-effective, I suppose. But it wouldn't deter people from behaving like this, because you're nuts, aren't you, to behave like this? You don't, you know, and in fact, anybody who's thinking of killing somebody and planning a murder isn't going to be put off by the consequences, unless maybe they're put off by the idea that if they get caught, they're going to stay incarcerated for the rest of their natural life. I mean, in states in America where they have the death sentence, there's no, as far as I can see, there is no falling in crime, violent crime or any other sort of crime. It doesn't seem anywhere in the world where executions happen that it does much to deter those sort of crimes. So I don't think it would be any use at all. It might make you feel better for a short amount of time. I think the fact that these people have been brought to trial and now have been locked up, remembering, of course, they tried to have themselves, as they say in their rather strange terminology, they wanted to be martyred for some reason. That didn't happen. That in itself, I would have thought, must be depressing to them. So I think they're in exactly the right place and should stay there for forever. But if you've got a view on this, get in touch. Be interesting to hear your thoughts. Why don't you text me? This is one of the ways you can help us finance the program and keep us going here on jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Text us at 81888. Text the word whale and then your message. Do you think? Let's have a little game. Let's have a straw poll. I mean, everybody says they think there should be a referendum about bringing back the death penalty. And outside the Old Bailey, during the end of the case, there were people walking around with placards, bring back capital punishment. There were people walking around with gibbets, with ropes on. I've said what I think. I think bringing back capital punishment would be a retrograde step. I think it would actually solve nothing at all. But what do you think? I would be fascinated to see how much response we get to that. Text me, 81888. Put the word whale first, then send your message. Calls will cost 25p plus standard rates. So, what do you think? Should we bring back execution? That's what it is. Execution of human beings if they commit murder. Would it make any difference? You tell me. Text the word whale to 81888. All right, put the word whale first and then your message. And next week on the program, I'll read out some of your thoughts. Now, what I was going to talk... Are you all right, Rob, there? You sounded very serious.
It's a very serious subject.
It is a very serious subject, and I've got another one here. We mentioned this last week, and lots of responses from you as well. Denmark are banning kosher and halal meat, and a lot of people think we should ban kosher and halal meat here. And just some of your thoughts, actually, that you've sent to me. Helen Rowley says, halal butchers who think that it's okay to drain an animal dry of blood with no stunning because that's against their religion. Well, let's look at it this way. Would you prefer to take morphine when you're dying, or would you prefer to be hung upside down, have your throat slit and drained of blood? Remember, you may be hanging around for a while until you die. Helen, that's cheered me up no end. Melody Powell says, yes, let's get back to being Great Britain. After all, we are the only country that caters for everyone except ourselves. So some of your thoughts. In fact, I haven't found anybody, actually, who doesn't think that we should allow kosher and halal meat here. David Massey says, my opinion is that government and society can no longer pander to the multitude of religious beliefs. The secular approach is best, unless they can prove that their particular God is real and not just a figment of a collective delusion. People can bother whatever fictitious God they wish in their own time. But the assumed expectation to tolerate bizarre rituals and mutilations is galling. Female circumcision is banned, and male circumcision should follow it unless for specific medical reasons. Halal and kosher slaughter should also be stopped. So that's the thought of David Massey. Your thoughts as well. Does it matter to you one way or the other? And if it does, can you explain to me why? Text the word whale to 81888 and let me know your thoughts. Calls cost 25p plus standard rates, and that helps keep the program on the air. Let's tie into this, and I don't know whether you saw this. In fact, I know you saw this because you rang up and spoke to the butcher. There's a butcher in Suffolk who has been in the news recently, and I don't know if anybody saw this, but it was a fascinating, and it kind of ties in with this, a fascinating thing. A butcher in Suffolk, an old-fashioned butcher, if only we could find one. There have been complaints against his shop. His shop has been there in his family for over 100 years, and he has, hanging up in the window of the butcher's shop, surprise, surprise, dead animals. And there have been lots of complaints. There are a couple of pigs' heads, rabbits, pheasants, ducks, lots of game, the occasional deer, not to mention the odd shoulder of lamb or whatever. And some people have complained. And so the shop has had to take down their window display because people don't want to see, and I think I quote, mutilated carcasses hanging in the window. Well, where do you think your meat comes from? I suppose a lot of people now go into a supermarket and find something so distant from a living thing in the pre-packed cellophane of a supermarket shelves that they forget that actually that came from a living thing who had to be slaughtered so that we could eat. I eat meat, but I have been to an abattoir. I have had on occasion to kill an animal to eat it. I used to keep chickens. It's not something I want to do, and it's not something I enjoy doing, but sometimes when I kept my own chickens, occasionally we would eat them. It was necessary to do that. And I think people need to know where your meat comes from. And if you can't stomach the fact that something has had to die to eat that, then maybe you should become a vegetarian. Rob, you phoned the butcher, didn't you?
I did.
What did the butcher say?
Well, first of all, I can tell you he was a very, very busy man. While I was on the phone with him, he was...
Lots of people going into the butcher's shop.
Lots of people going into the butcher's shop. The till was ringing continually. Unfortunately, all the media attention has had a bit of a knock-on effect with his trade because he's just continually answered phone calls and press and people turning up at his door. So I kept the call to the minimum. Hence why he's not on the show. The good news is the window display is going to go back up. and that the support from the locals and the global population has been of a supportive nature.
Good. I think it should be. We've had a lot of response here at James Whale Radio as well, haven't we?
We've had quite a lot, yes. Over 200 people.
Yeah. Stevie Boyd says, looks good to me. A proper butcher, Christine Cameron said. It's called the circle of life, folks. We have a choice of what we eat or don't eat. It's somebody's job. Thank God we have freedom of speech. Unfortunately, we have taken the whole politically correct nonsense to ridiculous levels. I agree. I think it's ridiculous. Yvonne Warwick says, I would complain, and I know it'll upset a lot of my veggie friends. Arthur Sutherland says, traditional butchers are almost gone. I remember one in Edinburgh, which was next door to the Playhouse when it was a cinema in the 70s, had some skinned rabbit hanging in the window with a sign which read, you've read the book, you've heard the music, you've seen the film, now eat the cast.
Oh, dear.
The film showing next door was Watership Down. Nobody complained. I'm just looking through some of the many replies. Colin Trim says, what is he supposed to display in his window? The latest fashion in clothing? You know, we've got, the interesting thing is we've got so used to meat not looking like meat that that we do. Some people get really upset. And one of the people who complained in this story was a guy in his 30s who said, my daughter finds it difficult to go past the shop to the sweet shop. Well, then you need to explain to your daughter where her food comes from. You've got a young daughter, haven't you?
I have. We sit at dinner table and she's eating a beef dinner or a chicken and or pork. And I tell her, you're eating a cow. And she goes, really? And I explain where the food comes from. She's seen the Lion King. She knows what the circle of life is. She's not stupid. And I don't think most kids are. Once you've explained it to them,
yeah,
shouldn't be a problem.
You want to be careful. I mean, you'll have social services knocking on your door if you're not careful.
That's what she says to me. She says, Dad, I'm phoning social services.
This one's from Reese, and Reese says, the issue is our children wouldn't be shocked by this kind of display. We're so removed from where our food comes from. This would be perfectly acceptable in Spain, France, or Italy. I'd happily take my children and let them browse with me. I'd even get them involved in butchering my purchases at home. Education is the issue. If taught early enough, children would not have a problem with this. And I think that's how most people feel. If you would like to put the other point of view, and I'd like to hear if you do, text me 81888, texting the word whale first and then your message. Now, I think it's time for a commercial break, huh?
A commercial break?
A commercial break. Want a free copy of my book or any other audio book?
Yes, please.
Now, this is a commercial. Don't interrupt the commercial. You're not allowed to do that.
Okay.
Want a free copy of my audiobook, or any other audiobook for that matter? Well, visit my website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Click on the Audible link, and by registering with Audible, you get a free book. Look for my book, James Whale, Almost a Celebrity, and download it for nothing. It's like a book club, and the first book is free. And the best bit, if you don't want to be a member, cancel, and you get to keep the book. It'll cost you nothing. And if you're already a member of Amazon, you don't even need to register. So pop over to the website now, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, click on the Audible link, and get yourself a free audiobook.
You should do that for a living.
No, I can't. I really can't. I said hi to Whitney Radio and Pure Music 24/7, didn't I?
You did.
I did. I want to say hi to all those people listening to us via Audio Boo and, of course, our very good friends at talentgb.com. Have you actually been to talentgb.com's website?
I have. There's loads of things on that.
You should go to TalentGB's website and check out all the artists. It's a good place. If you have a band, if you're a comedian, if you're a juggler, if you do something in the world of entertainment, go to talentgb.com and find out how you can get publicity for your act. What are they called?
TalentGB.com.
Yeah, very good indeed. I think it's probably time for a bit of music. What do you think?
Oh, I'm looking forward to this.
You are, aren't you? Okay. I could do the whole DG bit. J bit.
Go on, then.
Yeah, I am. Okay. So it's coming up to 15 minutes before the hour. And here on jamesweareradio.co.uk, time for a little rock and roll. Tapao and China in Your Hand. Pretty good, eh?
And you can't help them, you don't know.
There, China in Your Hands by the legendary Tapao. It is just like yesterday. Well, it is for me, isn't it? In fact, why don't we now bring back Carol Decker? Hello, Carol. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. The sun's shining. It's not raining for a change, so I can't grumble.
Yeah, no, that's that always makes life better if the sun shines.
It is, yeah. It makes you feel so much better. In fact, I went and bought one of those SAD lights because the winter's been so awful and I was feeling so grotty, and someone said, you need more sunlight. So I've got one of those funny lights that stops you killing people. But obviously, when the sun comes out, that's the better light, isn't it?
Now, Carol, if my memory serves me correctly, you live in the Thames Valley where all the flooding has been. How is it for you?
It's awful. I'm lucky. I'm up a hill, so I'm fine. And I'm sort of, but down in Henley, you know, half the streets have been covered in water, obviously down near the river. And then the surrounding areas, which I'm sure you know because of your BBC Bark stuff, Sonning has been completely flooded. So getting around the area has been really tricky. Getting to the M4 has been tricky. And also getting to the train station, if you're a commuter in either Henley or Shipley or Twyford or Reading, has been awful. You know, that the backlog of traffic has been terrible, but hopefully it's retreating behind us now.
Well, let's hope so. I was just trying to think when we first met, and I remember, you may remember it differently, I remember walking in to a hotel in Leeds.
Yes.
Gosh. And you and your band were there. I think you were behaving badly.
I resemble that remark. And I remember walking into your TV show and there were half-naked women everywhere, so you were behaving badly.
I resemble that remark as well. Times have changed.
So, yeah, well, they've moved on, haven't they? And who'd have thought that, what is it, 26 years later since we first met, that we're both still kicking around. So we must be good at something, James.
Life in general is far more serious than it used to be.
Well, we've got health and safety and political incorrectness, haven't we, that we all have to adhere to. And, you know, from my point of view, particularly the music business, I've noticed this when I was watching the Brits just recently, that there was only the Arctic Monkeys acting like a rock and roll band. Everybody else is a brand, and it's all very clean, and it's all about making money. I mean, you know, we all have to make money. I'm not stupid. But it's just also branded and corporate. And, you know, I miss the fights between Robbie and Blur and Oasis and Jarvis Cocker mooning at Michael Jackson and me trying desperately not to fall down the stairs at the Albert Hall in my high heels and singing China in Your Hand. You know, that's how you should be when you're a rock band.
How do you talk to you're a mum now, and not wishing to be disparaging, I mean, how do you talk to your children about your days as a rock and roll sex symbol?
Well, I had my kids kind of late, so Scarlett's only 15 and Dylan's only 11, so, you know, my glory days were long gone before they came along, but of course, due to the internet and YouTube and everything, they still see me, and of course they come to concerts and things like that, and they're very proud of me. But if I can just say that I never showed a lot of flesh. I showed a bit of leg and I showed silhouettes but not flesh, so I never did anything. There's nothing out there that they could ever find where I'm looking tarty or inappropriate. I just think I went for attractive, you know, as a woman, and, you know, being like most other women, hoping I look all right. You know, we could go on for hours there with a psychologist about why we should all feel like that, but that's life, you know. I went for looking attractive, but I more have to talk to them about don't drink as much wine as Mummy did.
Yeah, but what I was meaning really, Carol, was that you went for the sort of hot rock chick look more than anything else. And I suppose it had more to do with the mindset of rock and roll rather than what people were wearing at the time.
No, like I said, I never showed flesh. I defy you to find a naughty picture of me. It was just all, you know, looking a bit rock.
Black leather.
But I definitely was one of the lads. So, you know, I've propped up my fair share of bars and drunk my fair share of booze and had my fair share of hangovers. And that's, if they did half the things I did, I'll just have my head in my hands. But who knows? Because when you're young, you want to try most things, don't you?
Yeah, but when when we were both younger, you wouldn't have been so upset, I suppose, by what people wore. It was slightly easier, wasn't it? Well, having said that, Carol, I mean, Miley Cyrus swinging about on a wrecking ball now has got people going and is thought to be fairly near the knuckle. Maybe it's the way rock and roll is presented now compared with how it used to be.
Well, I think it's because we had Madonna, you know, come on.
Of course.
We had Queen, didn't we? And,
yeah.
You know, nothing that Lady Gaga or Miley Cyrus does. We've seen it all before if you've been around for long enough. But the big thing about Miley Cyrus, of course, is that she's come from being a child star, a Disney star. And she couldn't have gone for a more extreme opposite to who she was. And she's obviously done that on purpose. Because it's funny, because my little boy is only 11. And he's really quite a prude. And he was going, Mum, have you seen Miley Cyrus? And I'm not even remotely fazed by it. But Dylan was really shocked because of the extreme that she's gone to shake off, you know, who she was. It's just a publicity stunt. But there you go.
Do you miss the days when you were sort of headlining, when you were being rushed from the tour bus into the venue, lots of security guards, you couldn't go out on your own to power like the biggest thing? Do you miss all that?
Well, it's hard because, you know, I was ambitious and I was very, very successful. And the music business is a very fickle industry. And so you have your moment, and I have been distilled down to one song, but if I can for a moment blow my own trumpet, you know, we were together for 6 years, we had 3 top 10 albums, and 10 top 20 singles, you know, Bridge of Spies was quadruple platinum, Rage, the second album, went platinum, even the third album, when it was all over, went gold, still got in the top 10. So we sold loads and loads of records, and we did really, really well. And it is hard to come to terms with that being over, and I was pretty depressed, you know, and all of a sudden people aren't returning your phone calls anymore, and you stop getting your Fortnum and Mason Christmas hampers from the record company. That really hurt. I used to really look forward to those. And it really, really was awful for a couple of years, and I definitely lost myself for a while, you know. Yeah. But then I was very fortunate. I had really good friends, really good family. I went out to LA, started writing songs with other people, just tried to forget about it. And then, you know, I met my now husband, who we've been together for over 15 years, and one of his best mates. He now works for some bloke called Elton John that I've never heard of. But anyway, 15 years ago, he started to manage me, and he put me back on my feet. And I learned that there's still my core fan base out there. And I started doing all the big 80s shows. Can you believe it? I did my first 80s tour in 2001. And I just don't stop working because the 80s was a remarkable era. And everybody still loves to hear the songs and see a few of us still sing them. So my life is very good. It's very full and I'm very busy. But it's not superstar-y anymore, you know. And you just have to come to terms with it and say to yourself, you know what, I did it. So many people don't even get there, but I did it. But it does take some coming to terms with when it's not as high octane or as high profile as it was.
I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? There are very few Rolling Stones, Rod Stewarts,
yeah,
who kind of questionably
Benner, yeah,
have never stopped.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just the luck of the draw, how interesting you are, you know. It's a mix of things, circumstances. You know, I had the cliche dodgy manager with his hands in the till, you know, all that kind of thing went on. But then you have to, you know, take responsibility for yourself as well. And I didn't seem to ever come up with anything that people were interested in again. So that was down to me. And after a while, I just gave up trying to come up with something new because it was exhausting and seemed pointless. So then I accepted that, well, at least I'm remembered for all the hits I did have, and I did have some, and I've learned to enjoy it.
Are you still writing now?
I've just started again, funnily enough, because I did my first standalone tour last year, which was the 25th anniversary of Bridge of Spies, and we did 28 dates across the country, and the response was really very encouraging. And we've had another agent say, you know, everybody knows what business you did. So we've had another agent come forward and say, you did all right, actually. Would you like to do another 15 dates this October? And I said, yeah, but I've got to have a new album. So this Sunday, I'm in the studio at Shepperton Film Studios. I'm doing some vocals in a studio there. So I am starting to write some new stuff, yeah.
Good, because of course now everything we do, I mean, this program, for instance, is broadcast on radio, it's online, it's on Facebook. You can get it anywhere, anywhere in the world. Well, I like to think anywhere in the universe. So you could say that now today we are all more in charge of our own destiny.
You are, actually, and I know, and I can say to you, because you've been in situations where you've been in the mainstream and the prime time and then had to rethink when that's not working out anymore. So we can survive like that, you're quite right. And then you can also build back up from there. And it surprises me sometimes how busy I am and the response I get and, you know, my thousands of followers I've got on Twitter and things like that. So you can keep your career going, which is brilliant. I do miss being bankrolled, though, I have to say, by the record companies. When you say, I want to make a video, I want to do this, I want to do that. It's like, okay, I mean, you have to pay it all back, of course, but at least somebody just flings the money at it and you can get on with it. Whereas now we have to think, who can we rope in to do this for beer?
Are the guys, the original members of Tapao, are they still with you?
No, we broke up in 1991 and it was quite acrimonious. So a couple of the guys I've not seen since then. We parted company at Heathrow Airport at the end of the Promise Tour and I've not seen them since. But the former drummer, Tim Burgess, he lives in Toronto and we're great pals. And he actually went on to work for Virgin Records, who he was signed to, bizarrely. And Ronnie Rogers, who was my partner of 13 years, he co-founded the band and he co-wrote all of the hits. He's still my very, very, very dear friend and comes out on the road with me. So, and we manage sort of the historic Tapao stuff together. So just Ronnie and Tim, really, I keep in touch with.
So what happened at Heathrow Airport? What made you say goodbye to those guys, turn round, walk away and never look back?
This is a long conversation. How can I put it? Ronnie and I wrote all the songs. We wrote all the songs and we got signed to the record company. And when we got signed to the record company, we recruited various musicians from some guys in Shrewsbury where we lived and some guys in London who had been recruited for us by our new London management at Harvey Goldsmiths. So, and off we went and we started having hits, which was great. The boys then wanted more money and they were very handsomely paid in my opinion, and I said, well, Ronnie and I started getting all the publishing and they could see that money coming in, so it caused an issue. But I thought that their salaries were absolutely brilliant and they should be happy with that, and as they didn't write the songs they weren't entitled to any of that, but they weren't happy with that, so it all started to implode. And the worst thing was when my father died of a heart attack, I didn't get a card or flowers or an inquiry about the funeral or anything because their rancor with me superseded their manners, you know. And that, by that time, we all knew each other's families very well, and I knew my mom and I knew my brother. And I just thought, well, if money means that much to you, I'm not really interested in you anymore. So when we finished the tour, and we were barely speaking on the tour, it was I always call it the Game Boy tour. Everybody was on the buses and took the tour bus and the plane just looking at their Game Boys with their headphones on. And it was so sad because we just used to be the six musketeers, you know, carousing around the world. And then we got to Heathrow and I just said, see you around. And that was it. And then I sent them their letters of dismissal.
You're a hard woman.
It wasn't really a band. It was a benign dictatorship and they shouldn't have pissed me off.
Well, do you know, I think probably benevolent dictatorship is possibly the way to go.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what I do now, you know. I know better now. I've always wanted to front a rock band, so it appeared to be the six of us when behind the scenes it wasn't, and that eventually caused problems. And now I'm older and wiser, I can see it was always destined to.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question now, and you have to think before you answer it.
Okay.
If you'd been a bloke, do you think you would still be more acceptable to record companies, perhaps more up there doing new stuff now than you are? Because you're really one of the very few rock chicks.
I can't answer that question because I'm not a bloke, but I'm 56 now, so would they be interested in a 56-year-old bloke? I don't know. Maybe, you know, they don't mind guys looking like, you know, pop stars looking like Ronnie Wood, but they don't want an older woman. So, although having said that, I was 28 when I signed my deal with Virgin, so I was geriatric to start with. But I don't know. I don't know. I've never thought in terms of the sexes. I've never let that stand in my way, so I can't really say, you know.
There's a lot of guys still very, very keen on you. Rob, my producer, said he would do anything for me if I would get you on the program.
Oh, bless him. And I know that he downloaded British Spies again the other day because he tweeted me.
Yeah. He's a real suck-up, actually, aren't you, Rob?
Leave me out. Eh?
Oh, well, you'll have to keep in touch on Twitter. And when the tour dates go out, we'll get him in. We'll get him into one of the shows.
We'll come along. Listen, I've just thought, why don't we do our own big 80s revival tour? I can host it. I know all the songs. I was playing them on the radio.
We'll do that. We'll find you some leather trousers.
Carol, you must be amazed when you hear these tracks, China in Your Hands. We're going to play Heart and Soul. I know it's your favourite a little bit later on in the show. But these records have really passed the test of time, haven't they? They are still there. People still listen to them. People still know them.
Well, I think, and not just my own music, but when I get asked all the time why I think the 80s prevails. And I just think that very well-crafted pop songs with really memorable melodies and I think, as well as the music, everybody had a very individual voice and sound. Like, for me now, you know, all these big songwriting teams, I mean, we had them in the 80s, like Stockaken and Waterman, you know, you could take any artist off that backing track and put another similar artist on top. You can't do that with lots of us from the 80s. I found, like me, Belinda Carlisle sounds like her, Kim Wilde sounds like her, Bon Jovi sounds like them, Heaven 17 sound like they do, Human League sound like they do, New Order sound like they, you know what I mean? We're all really individual.
Yeah.
So that's why I think our images prevail and our personalities prevail. And I think it was a time of structured music writing. When it tipped over into the 90s, it all got about the vibe, didn't it?
Yeah, well, you don't have to tell me. That might just be, you know, because we're getting old. I hope it isn't. But people talk about the old days, don't they? I was there. You were there. I was there on the radio in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the noughties, all the time. Music changes. Music moves on. But I feel quite sorry for the kids today because they're trying to do something different. And when rock and roll started back in the 50s and the 60s and the Beatles and the Stones in the 60s, I don't remember much before that, it was all new. And then to change everything, they got into the punk era. But now it's really difficult. It's really difficult for these guys to try and come up with something new that sounds fresh because most of it has been done before.
Yeah, well, I think that's it. There isn't anything new under the sun, is there? And there's a lot of young artists, like LaRue, for example, who are really aping the sounds of the 80s. And the producer I'm working with right now said, I think it's about the right time for you to do another record, Carol, because there's so much homage being paid to the drum sounds and the keyboard sounds and song structure in stuff that's around at the moment. So it's all getting recycled.
Do you know, Carol, I think if you came up with a really great song now and you recorded it, Carol Decker, great song, enough airplay, you'd have a hit. You would have a hit, I'm sure. And when people go on about, oh, this is new or that's new, just think about Oasis for a moment. If you listen to the music of Oasis and you really like it, then go back and listen to the Kinks. Because I think you will find quite a lot of influences from the Kinks in the music of Oasis.
all the Beatles have practically just written slightly different melody lines over all their courses, yes. In my humble opinion, but there you go. Well, it's good of you to say so, and of course, I should never say never, but I guess I've become accustomed to that not being part of my life anymore. But, like I said, I'm in the studio on Sunday. We've got one song written that we're really happy with. I go to do the, if I get rid of this flipping cold, I go and do the vocals on Sunday, and we'll see. And I'm just going to have to keep my quality control high, you know, make sure that they're all really catchy and good.
Carol Decker, thank you very much indeed. Listen, let's not leave it another 20 years before we talk again.
Keep in touch, and I'll follow you on Twitter.
Well, that's it. We'll keep in touch on Twitter, and then we'll go and find a pub and share a bottle of red wine.
You're on, mate. You're on.
All right. Your favourite To Power song is Heart and Soul, is it not?
It is.
Why?
I just think it's cool. You know, even now, when you hear the two vocals, and you know, a lot of people don't realise I actually invented rap. So, you know, this is an opportunity for them to be reminded of that. I just think it's cool, and I think it's brilliant. It's well written. It's well sung, it's well played, and it's brilliantly produced by Roy Thomas Baker.
Little bit.
Ah, do you know, I like that as well. And quite often you think of Tapao and you think of China in your hand and you forget about Heart and Soul. Great. If you're a new listener to music and if you are, maybe you're in your 20s and 30s and you have never heard of Tapao, check them out. Go and have a listen to some of their music. I think you'll enjoy it. And, of course, you probably get a chance now to see them again. They're playing again. Carol Decker, of course, is basically Tapao, isn't she?
She is, yes.
You love her, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew you did. Right, let's do a competition. We didn't do a competition last week, did we?
No, we sort of did the Joe McElderry, but we didn't do the competition for some reason.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we did. So this is the no competition competition. You get a signed copy of the book. No, this isn't the audio book I was talking about before. This is the book I wrote some years ago, and we've still got a few copies of it left. So you get a chance to win this, a copy of Out of an Ancient World, which is a CD.
It is.
By Riversea. A great album, actually. We played the track Eden on the show a few weeks ago, if you remember that. So we'll send you the book and the CD. If we take your name off the share list, all you have to do to enter this with a chance of winning the book and the CD is share any of our links on Facebook. That's all. And next week we'll pick a winner from the list. So if you go and share any of our links on Facebook, we will pick a winner from the share list and we will contact you on the show next week. Okay, I forgot what I was going to talk about now. I was going to talk about something really important. I've forgotten what the heck it was. Don't tell me. I tell you what I was going to do. Those of a few of you regulars on Facebook, we've got loads of people on Facebook, a couple of regulars on Facebook who go on and slag me off. Of course, I mean, trolling is not allowed now, is it?
No.
Particularly the ones who put pictures of themselves up there who I'm really surprised that you're prepared to put pictures that look like that up there, to be quite honest.
Wouldn't this be a really good opportunity? Maybe this is what you were thinking about. A really good opportunity to tell everybody about your new radio show.
On Facebook?
No, Radio Kent.
Oh, yes, BBC Radio Kent, Saturday morning, a little show, 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. So you can tune in Saturday morning live, or you can listen to it on the iPlayer. I haven't done it yet. 10 o'clock Saturday morning, something for the weekend. I think it's sort of a new idea in radio, really. It's a bit wacky. I'm not even sure that I understand it.
Nothing new there, then.
No, exactly. So BBC Kent, it's 4 hours. 10 o'clock in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. You can call me. It's not the sort of serious programmes like I sometimes do. It won't be like my weekday show on BBC Essex where I do the breakfast show. And, of course, you can join me any weekday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning until 9, talking about the issues of the day. And this Friday, I even have the Chief Constable of Essex on. Interesting chap. Saturday morning, BBC Radio Kent, that was my radio voice, 10 o'clock until 2 in the afternoon. Join me on Saturday morning. And then all those people who really dislike me, you could ring in and tell me why.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't recommend doing that at all.
Oh, no, I would. Ring in. I bet you haven't got the nerve, have you? You haven't got the gumption to ring in and say, I don't like you. You better have a good reason, mind you. So that's what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about something else as well. We were talking about getting time off school the other day, weren't we?
Oh, yeah.
I think we got quite a lot of people getting in touch, Facebooking us, texting us, everything else. The government are going to apparently try and put pressure on holiday firms that put up prices during the school holidays for your holidays. And I really don't understand how this works. Because if the government can actually tell a company, a legitimate company, that they're charging too much, could they put the price down because we can't afford it? Could they do that to the oil companies? Could they do that to the oil companies so we go in and we don't have to pay exorbitant prices to fill up our motor cars? Could they do it to the people who supply our gas and electricity so that it's not costing so much to heat our homes and cook our food? Is there any possibility they could do that? I'd just try. You hadn't got anything to say on this, have you?
This has been in the news quite a lot recently, this school holidays fining Obviously, my daughter's in school. And one of the things the headmaster told us on the sort of introduction day was that we're allowed up to 10 days of throughout the year of which we could do what we like with, i.e. take your child, you know, on holiday. So do people really need any more than 10 days?
Well, no, I don't think that is true. You said that to me the other day, and I don't think that's true, actually, because I think it's at the discretion of each individual headmaster. And I think a lot of schools are now not allowing parents to take children out of their school in term time. And if they try and take their child out of school in term time, then they are fined. And they're fined quite often. You would be fined and your wife would be fined. Let's try and clear this up. Is anybody there with a child in school and they can take their child out of school during term time? Because I can't see that the government can say to a business, sorry, you can't charge that much. It's the law of supply and demand. I mean, nobody really... you don't have a right to holiday. They're a luxury, aren't they?
They are.
You know, nobody can say, oh, I'm being deprived because I can't go to Spain this year. If you want to pay thousands of pounds for a holiday, you better have the money. I couldn't pay that much when I had kids to go on holiday. Spend most of my time trying to pay the tax man. Jim Callahan said, firstly, the fines imposed on parents should be removed immediately. He says, well, he goes, his children go to school, they get fined. Secondly, to say that parents should negotiate with schools to move holiday periods to suit shows how immature this government's way of thinking works. Michael Gove finds it easy to make such ridiculous comments as he fails to realise that the holiday companies will rub their hands with glee if they're given an extra period in which they can rip off families. So he's quite strong about that, Jim. Thank you. Annie Crow, make this the last one for me. Annie Crow says, holidays are a luxury. Every other business puts their prices up at peak times, so don't understand why travel companies get so much hassle. It annoys me more that they are allowed to charge adult prices for 12-year-olds, but no one ever seems to mention that. But at the end of the day, if you can't afford it, then you can't have it. And I'll tell you this, if people stopped going on these holidays, the prices would soon come down. They are the price they are because people keep on buying them. I rest my case. Oh, hang on. We got a couple of texts coming in. You can text me, text the word whale, plus your message to 81888. 81888. This one from Gary Leathers. He says, you're a legend. I am a legend. He says, and mainstream radio is a lot worse without ya. Well, I'm on mainstream radio, BBC Radio Kent, Saturday mornings, 10 o'clock. And, of course, The Breakfast Show from the BBC in Essex every weekday morning from 6 until 9. So you can pick me up there. Simon Stokes says, James, would love to see you back on LBC. What are the chances? I should think none in the next year or so, whilst it's owned by the company that owns it now. Also, when are you back on the television? Well, Simon, who knows? Who knows? Last weekend. Was it on Sky last weekend? You never know. James, I'm a big fan. And to me, oh, this is nice. This is Janet Wade. Hello, Janet. Great initials, by the way. She says, I'm a fab DJ. So those are nice texts. I think I'll concentrate on texts where they're not nasty to me.
Yeah, do you want me to delete the texts that are horrible to you?
No, I like those as well. Okay. Let's have some more of those. Text 81888, put the word whale first, and lots of thoughts in the programme this week. Lots of things you can reply to, lots of things you can do. So text 81888, starting your message with the word whale. Calls cost 25p plus standard rates, and we'll include more on the programme next week. I think that's it now. Right, what are we going to do after the programme? I fancy a pint.
Well, I'm thinking of going to Henley-on-Thames to go and do a bit of stalking.
I think I would actually suggest that is not a good idea.
The pub it is, then.
Yes, that's where we'll go. See you next week. Tell your friends to join us, jamesworldradio.co.uk, on your favourite radio station, on talentgb.com, on Audioboo, online, on iTunes. Where else can you get us?
YouTube.
YouTube. Join the millions who listen, And if you can't wait for the next show next week, join me Saturday morning, BBC Radio Kent, 10 o'clock. If you've got one of those apps on your smartphone or whatever, you can find us on that radio app. What's it called? There are a couple, aren't there?
Tune In, I think, is the most popular one.
That's very clever. Tune In. And BBC Essex during the week. Same time, same place, next week. Of course, after you finish this, you can go back, you can listen again. Probably some of you will want to listen to Carol Decker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to the pub.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on Facebook.com/James Whale Radio Show or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.